Proverbs 1:33. But whoever listens to me will live in safety and be at ease without fear of harm. Proverbs 1:33. Ephesians 5:20. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 5:20. Proverbs 18:10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. Proverbs 18:10. Would you now open your Bibles, please, to James chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. James chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. We'll be seeing these verses on the screen, and you'll see them on the back of your bulletin. Here's James chapter 4, verse 3, which we'll come back to in a moment. Here is James chapter 4, verse 4, which is, you can see, a pretty long verse, and it's also on the back of today's bulletin. The emphasis on Wednesday night will be on the subject of indulgence, specifically as a result of the content of this particular verse, James 4:4. We're looking primarily now at James 4:3, and we're dealing with the subject of the resurrection and various aspects related to the resurrection, the first resurrection and the second resurrection. We spend a moment in prayer before we begin our study, realizing the importance of being in fellowship with our Lord as we study His Word. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. How fantastic it is to know that we can know when we are cleansed of sin and filled with the Spirit. The filling of the Holy Spirit is not something that's all that strange and unusual. It is the normal aspect of the Christian life. And anytime God gives us a command, you can rest assured that He's made the provision by which that command can be obeyed. And He says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. That's a command. And if He's made that command, and He has, if and it is true, then He's also provided the means by which that command can be obeyed. How fantastic. So let's bow for a moment of prayer before we begin our scripture reading. We're here today because of Your grace, Father, and we thank You. We're thankful for the fact that Jesus Christ is our Savior. We're thankful not only for His life, but for His death, burial, and resurrection. We're thankful also for the fact that He is sitting at the Father's right hand to make intercession for us. And that one day, we do not know just exactly when, He will come to receive us unto Himself. We thank You for the assurance of Your grace and blessings to all of us. We're the recipients of Your love and Your grace, and we thank You. In Jesus' name, amen. During the break, as always, we receive a translation from the German Bible. And I'm going to read James 4:3 to the best of my ability from the German. Because you ask not, you ask and receive nothing. Because you evil ask in your lust toward pleasures. It's interesting to see that in the German language that the word there is evil. In James chapter 4 verse 3. Also, James chapter 4, verse 4, which you see on the back of your bulletin, the King James and other translations presents it, adulteresses, do you not know that rapport of the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore resolves rapport with the world is the enemy of God. That's what I put out as a more literal translation of that verse from the original language. From the German, it goes like this. You marriage breakers. Thought that was an interesting introduction. The word adulteress is there is in the feminine gender. It's not just an emphasis on females who are unfaithful, but it is used in the feminine gender, which I think is very interesting. You marriage breakers, know not that the friendship of the world is the enemy of God. The verse 4, I'll put it on the screen. I think I have it here for you. James 4, verse 4. Let's look at it for just a moment. Adulteresses is the first word. Then it's followed by a strong negative adverb there, O-U-K. Then we have a perfect active indicative of the word know. Do you not know? In other words, there's an emphasis upon something that you've known in the past. The result of that knowledge is still with you, and the result of that knowledge continues on to this moment. Do you not know that the rapport, and this is my interpretation of the Greek language here, because there's an emphasis upon a relationship with the world. And if you'll notice that the word is the Greek word philia, which is P-H-I-L-I-A. Most of you remember that the word philos is one of the four or five Greek words for love. And I've always translated philos, the noun, philia, phileo, verb. I've translated rapport, because I believe that that's a better translation. And it specifically fits beautifully here when it says, do you not know that rapport of the world is understood, enmity with God. Whoever therefore resolves rapport with the world, this is strong language, is the enemy of God. And the word here is constituted. A person has been constituted as an enemy of God. We'll talk about this more in detail on Wednesday night. Now we're back to James 4:3, and we're back to where we left off in the previous service in relationship to the subject of the resurrection. Let me begin by giving you some specific verses that you need to take down. There are at least three major passages that generally describe the subject of the two resurrections. If Jesus Christ is presented as the first fruits, the first resurrection, then we've already said that there has to be an emphasis logically to a second resurrection. And before we leave here today, we'll look to see what that's all about. But the first resurrection, Jesus Christ is presented as the first fruits. So there are basically three major passages of Scripture that relate to the two resurrections. One of those is in the fifth chapter of John. I would encourage you to write this down so you can refer to it later, John chapter 5. Another one is Daniel chapter 12. And then the third one is Revelation chapter 20. I'm going to read these verses specifically to you. There are three passages of Scripture that generally describe the subject of the two resurrections. There is John 5:24-29. We'll only look at verse 29, which says, and some shall come forth, they that have done good, agathos, unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil, unto the resurrection of damnation. Now, I've already given it away, haven't I? I've already given you the second resurrection right there. So, excuse me. But I read the Scripture, so that's it. It says, some shall come forth, they that have done good, that is God's good, which means that they have accepted God's plan. God's good is not doing good in the energies of the flesh. This is an emphasis upon doing good that God designed. And God designed that there's none good enough, none righteous, no, not one, all have sinned, So if you're going to ever have any goodness, it has to come from God. And that's the Greek word, agathos. So that's the word that's used here in John 5:29. Some shall come forth, they that have done good, God's good, unto the resurrection of life. And they that have done evil, those who have rejected the plan of God, unto the resurrection of damnation. So the second resurrection is the resurrection of damnation. Now, let's go to Daniel 12:2. This is a prophecy, and many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. So this is hundreds of years before the Lord Jesus Christ came on the scene in the flesh. But the scripture says in Daniel 12:2, many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And then the last verse is Revelation 20, verse 6. It says, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath a part in the first resurrection. Now, I'm going to put this on the screen. You saw it in the previous session, but here we have some major divisions. For those of you who cannot see this screen, let me give these four major divisions to you. First of all is the Lord Jesus Christ. Secondly, church age believers. Thirdly, Old Testament saints and tribulational martyrs. And fourthly, millennial saints and all those alive at the second advent. Now, what we've just said to you is that these are the four divisions of the first resurrection. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 23, we have described there the four facets. The Greek word is the word which means an order or a segment. It is the word that describes groups of individuals, and the first emphasis there is on the Lord Jesus Christ. So up to this point, there's only been, as I've said, only one person who has been the recipient of a resurrection body. And that person is the Lord Jesus Christ. So you need to be sure that you remember that at this point, no one else has received a resurrection body other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, some of you are going to say, I think I read over there in the book of Matthew, the last chapters, about 20, chapter 25 or somewhere in there, that at the time that Jesus Christ came out of the grave, that some people also got up, and so they were walking around in resurrected bodies. Not so. They were walking around in resuscitated bodies, which meant that eventually they would die. So, let's be sure that we understand that, because if you don't, you're going to be confused. And we don't want people to be confused. So just be sure that you understand that at this point, there's only been one person who's received a resurrection body, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay. I need to give you some verses in relationship to this one. The first verse that I give you is Romans chapter 1, verse 4. I would encourage you to write these verses out by the side of each of these four segments. Romans chapter 1, verse 4. The second passage is 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10. Now, the third verse is 2 Timothy 2, verse 8. 2 Timothy 2, verse 8. The next verse is 1 Peter 1, 3. And then the passage of Scripture which we referred to many, many times, 1 Corinthians 15, 23. Now, we're looking at 1 Corinthians 15, 23. I presented that to you in the previous session, and I'm coming back to show you again. 1 Corinthians 15, 23. I read this to you earlier. Let me read it again. If the dead are not raised, verse 16, Not even Christ has been raised. In 1 Corinthians 15:17, if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless and you're still in your sins. Then those who also have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If we have only hope in Christ in this life, we are of all men most to be pitied. But verse 20, but now Christ has been raised from the dead. The first fruits of those who are asleep. Please put down that that says first fruits. Then it says, for since by man came death, by a man also came the resurrection of the dead. This is such beautiful language. It's inspired by the Spirit of God through the Apostle Paul. I'm just amazed at the Apostle Paul, aren't you? Just amazed. I mean, I see that old boy, mean and cruel and rude and unkind, killing Christians. And then I see him saved by the grace of God, born again. I see him going out to his seminary training, backwoods, way out there, away from the world. If you're going to get the message, get it from God. Don't get it from the world. And there he is, out there. And boy, when he comes back to town, he comes back full of it. He's ready. And you know what? He's gotten it all by means of grace. If you want to know where he got it from, he got it from God, and it is by grace. I love the name of our church. And I think you ought to love the name of this church. Grace Bible Church. You couldn't find three words better. Grace Bible Church. Now, I hope that if you haven't had much of a love for this name, that you'll love it even more now. Grace Bible Church. And the Apostle Paul, drastically changed by grace. What does he do? God uses him to write so many of these New Testament books. And what do you find in all of these books? An emphasis upon God's grace. Well, it says here, the Apostle Paul is writing to the Corinthians, and the Corinthians, of all people, they needed this message. For since by man came death, by a man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all shall be made alive. But each in his own order. There's the Greek word. Segment, regiment, order, taxis, togma, whatever you want to use. It's beautiful. But each in his own order, which simply says, I want you to know that there is going to be an emphasis in the Scripture on the four segments, the four divisions in relationship to the first resurrection. But each in his own order. Number one, Christ, the first fruits. Then it says, after those who are Christ at his coming. You don't have to be very sharp to see what that's saying. It says, Jesus Christ, first fruits. Next, church age believers. Who are the church age believers? That's us. The next group of people to have a resurrection body will be the believers of the church age. From the time of Pentecost on the one hand until the time of the resurrection of the body of Christ on the other hand, which we call the rapture. 1 Thessalonians 4. Oh, I love to read this. When I go to a memorial service, I read this. It says, we don't want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as do the rest who have no hope. Can you believe how fantastic this is? I mean, the best thing I can do when I go to a funeral service is tell people how to be saved. That's my challenge. I tell the loved ones. That's what I'm going to tell the people. I'm not here to necessarily brag on this person, even though I may say a few things that are good about the individual, because most people know what kind of life they lived or didn't live. So I'm not here for the purpose of preaching them into heaven or hell. That's not my job. My job is to seek to comfort the loved ones, because they're comforted in the fact that their loved one is absent from the body and home with the Lord. But it says here, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who are just passed away, that you may not grieve. Didn't say you wouldn't grieve. It says you wouldn't grieve as those who have no hope. There's nothing wrong with grieving. There's nothing wrong with being sorrowful when a loved one passes away. Something would be wrong with us if we didn't have some sorrow. Even though there is a saturation of hope and confidence and joy and peace, because we know that they're not in that. Have you ever had anyone to look at a body and say, "Oh, isn't he handsome?" Or, "Isn't she beautiful?" Excuse me, folks, but I've never seen a handsome corpse. Oh, I think they look okay, look great. I've never seen a beautiful corpse. Have you? You think about it. I mean, it's fine. That's okay. Fix them up if you want to go that way. That's okay. But let me tell you something. When you walk by that casket, they are not there. They're not there. Oh, be aware of the fact. Well, let me go on here before I get too... We don't want you to be uninformed, it says, about those who've just passed away, those who are asleep in the Lord, that you do not grieve as those who have no hope. For if we believe, listen to it, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with Him those who have passed away. Oh my. For this we say to you, by the revelation of God, the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. To meet the Lord in the air. Have you ever thought about that? Wow. Have you ever really thought about what Jesus may really look like? Well, I mean, we've got a picture of Him on the front page. I'm telling you, that's someone's idea. This is one of the better ones that I've seen. I don't believe that you and I could really, totally comprehend what He's like. Oh, but it's going to be fantastic. Can you just imagine? Can you just imagine? Oh, my. We who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with Him. Wherefore, comfort ye one another with these words. The next group, we see it on the screen. Church age believers at the time of the rapture. 1 Thessalonians 4:13 to 18. 1 Corinthians 15:51 to 57. 1 Corinthians 15:51 to 57. Let me read it to you. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We read this in the previous service. We shall not all sleep. We shall be changed. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. How fast is a twinkling of an eye? Since I just mentioned it, you've been twinkling a whole bunch of times. You don't even think about it. Now that I've mentioned it, you're thinking about it. in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound. The dead will be raised imperishable. We shall be changed. This perishable must put on the imperishable. This mortal must put on immortality. Verse 54, when this perishable will have put on the imperishable, this mortal will have put on immortality, then will come about the saying that is written in Isaiah 25:8, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? A quote from Hosea 13:14, O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Another passage of Scripture is Philippians 3:20-21. Another passage is 1 John 3:1-2. Oh, I love this passage. Let me see if I can find it real quick like. 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. If you don't look it up, well, write it down, please. 1 John 3, see how great a love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God, and such we are. For this reason, the world does not know us and understand us. They think we're kind of crazy. Now, I put that in there myself. Because it did not know Him. And there was the crazy people out there think we're crazy. And we are called crazy, but we know how crazy they really are. Did you get that? For this reason, the world does not know us. They don't understand us because it did not know Him. But look at verse 2. Beloved, right now, we are children of God, and it does not appear as yet what we shall be. Oh, this is getting more beautiful as the words go by. We know that when He appears, we shall be like Him because we shall see Him as He is. Oh, we shall see Him. We shall know Him. We shall be like Him. We shall see Him just as He is. Now, people ask all kinds of questions. Will there be any babies in heaven? And if so, and the answer is yes, how old will they be? Have you ever asked that silly question? Or would you say, well, I'm 75 or 80 or 90 or 100, how old will I be in heaven? What difference does it make? I think I'm going to be 33. Is that okay? That's just my silly thinking. We know that we shall see Him as He is. When He appears, we shall be like Him. I'm reading what it says. But look at verse 3. And everyone who has this hope fixed on Him purifies himself just as He is pure. Another passage of Scripture that fits this section is John 14. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will what? I will come unto you. Well, what does it say? Let's turn to John 14 and see what it says. This is a passage of Scripture that we've read many, many, many times. We've quoted many, many times. But let me read it to you. Don't let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, but believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many dwelling places, many mansions. I've always wondered about this. It says, in a house, there are many mansions. I mean, you talk about someone having an imagination. Our Lord has an imagination. You put many mansions in a house. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare for you a place. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. He said it. I believe it. You believe it. And then, of course, there's old guy asking a question. Thomas, Lord, we know not where you're going. And how do we know the way? Can you just feel the tremble of his voice? Lord, if you had known me, you would have known my Father also, the Lord says, but now own you know him. And Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. You've already had enough. What do you want now? Jesus said, I want you to understand that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. You see how beautiful it is? You know when Resurrection Day is? It's every day. Not just this Sunday. Every day. All right. Gotta go, but let's look at this. The third group, Old Testament saints and tribulation martyrs. The third group will be made up of Old Testament saints plus the martyrs of the tribulation. Revelation 20 verse 4, Daniel 12, 13, Isaiah 26, 19 and 20. My time is up, but let's go to the fourth one. And then I'm going to give you in a sentence this last statement. The fourth group in this first segment, millennial saints and all those alive at the second advent. All millennial saints, all those who are alive at the second advent. I put it like this, saints of the tribulation, 1 Corinthians 15. Now let me quickly tell you, the second resurrection is the resurrection of damnation. So if you'll put that one down, and perhaps we'll talk about it again sometime. The second resurrection is the resurrection unto eternal destruction. This is made up of all unbelievers since the beginning of time. The scripture says they're going to be resurrected. They're going to be brought up and judged and cast into the lake of fire, as described in Revelation chapter 20, 12 through 15. And in verse 13 of Revelation 20, it says, they were judged, every man, according to their works. Now, look at that. Death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. In other words, here's what they were doing. They were depending upon their deeds. They were depending upon their works. They were depending upon what they could do to lift themselves by their own bootstraps into God's heaven, and you don't get there that way. So, Revelation chapter 20, 12 through 15. Then I wrote this last paragraph. Man has no greater need in the world than to know Jesus Christ personally. If a person is without Christ as Savior, then that person is without hope and without eternal life. The Bible reveals unmistakably that Christ died for our sins. He took our place. Jesus says, come unto me. And he says, he that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. In other words, each person has the responsibility for himself, herself, to either accept or reject the Lord Jesus Christ. My encouragement would be for the person who hasn't accepted him to do it, even now. May we bow for prayer. Thank you, Father, for this day, the emphasis on what you have done and are doing for us. We're thankful for the fact that Jesus Christ is our Savior. He was willing to die and be buried and come forth out of that grave to make intercession and to be with each one of us. We thank you for every blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.
Lord of our sinful hearts.